What's going on? What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to another episode of the Successes Within Reach podcast, season 4, episode 10, Entrepreneurship 101 with Tracy Brown. My guest is coming today from Illinois. He is a former construction laborer that turned into a founder and CEO of several successful businesses. He's a management consultant and the author of the Earn versus Burn newsletter, which is super incredible. It focuses on leadership, productivity, and best practices through his specialized management consulting practice. So I want to welcome at this time, Mr. Tracy Brown. How are you doing today, sir?
Oh, man, I'm doing great, Shannon. This is one of my favorite podcasts, so I'm grateful to be a guest on your show.
I appreciate it. Before we get started, I want to remind everyone you can always join in the conversation and submit any questions and comments for our guests at www.facebook.com/SIWR podcast. All right, let's get into it. So if you could share with our audience a little bit about yourself and how you ventured into the business and entrepreneurship space.
Yeah, and thanks for that first introduction. You know, I started as a construction laborer. I was digging a ditch on my very first day, and I had my coworkers in the ditch telling me, "Hey, kid, you need to slow down." And I didn't slow down, and I haven't started slowing down yet. So I took that as kind of the catalyst to make the most of my opportunity. So as I came up through the construction trade, I got into leadership and management positions. And from there, I founded my first company, my own contracting company, and had that for almost 5 years. And since then, I've founded, co-founded one and founded one myself, and currently a CEO of Sold One. And then I'm currently a CEO of my consulting business. So, and I center specialize really in the contracting and medium-sized businesses. I actually consult for several different type of companies and industries, but my specialty, if I was picking, would be contractors trying to figure it out how to get to the next level. So that's what I enjoy doing. My newsletter is all about helping people get better and learn some of the lessons I learned coming up through the trade and in business as well.
I love it. Like it's always interesting to hear people that are in the business entrepreneurship space and, ask them how they got there, because it's often that most of us, especially those of us in the consulting space, we started out in something completely different, so it's always interesting to me to hear people's journey, from one thing that was completely unrelated. However, they've had something inside of them that was like, okay, there's something bigger here. There's something bigger. Yeah. Some people start out in restaurants and some are, like you said, in construction. I know some that have started out as athletes or thought they wanted to go to law school, and then we all ended up in business consulting.
Yeah. And I love it too. If your drive is to get up and help people and help businesses improve and grow, it's something I really enjoy doing. So, they say you don't work a day in your life if you like what you're doing. So I've gotten to that position. I'm really, really grateful to be doing it and continue to grow it. And, people click and open that newsletter every week that I write, which is, hugely gratifying, knowing that I'm helping people improve in their productivity and best practices and things like that. So, yeah, I'm really the lucky one and I'm very fortunate. But, yeah, it takes a spark, It takes a spark early on to make that jump, and it takes a leap of faith. It takes having really good people around you, of course. And for me, coming up as a high school grad, working as a laborer, it was, having really good people around me, mentors, really. That was what really did it for me. I had four key mentors coming up through, and that gave me the confidence to go for it.
Mm, most definitely. Like having excellent mentorship is invaluable. Like you can't put a price tag on it. So I want to ask you, entrepreneurship often starts with a unique idea. What advice do you have for aspiring entrepreneurs on identifying and validating business ideas?
Well, in this day and age, we have the internet at our fingertips. You can get a lot of free information, and then there's a lot of great thought leaders, if you will, in whatever space or area you're considering. So I say do your research. That is free. That's something you can do on the side. And once you've made that call, made that decision, like, hey, I think I can do this. I think I can be successful at this. Bounce those ideas off people. Getting other perspectives, I think, is one of the most valuable things you can offer people. I think you probably agree as a consultant, and and being able to see something from a different viewpoint, but get others to see that too. Because they can shine a light on some of the things you might have thought about, not have thought about.
Mm-hmm.
But I think one of the biggest things that slow people down or prevent them from taking those leaps after they've done the research, you know, after they've consulted with those people in their lives that can help them, it's this feeling that, you know, they're not good enough, or they, you know, have like imposter syndrome. That's prevalent. I think we all have that to some degree, and I think that's healthy. But if that stops you from taking that leap to, you know, to grow a business, to start something new for yourself, I'd say, you know, invest in yourself, believe in yourself, and you'll see it happen.
Most definitely. You know, a lot of people always, you know, harp on what could go wrong, and, you know, often ask them, but what if it goes right?
Yeah.
You know, yes, most successful people have had 4, 5, 6 failure businesses before they find the right one.
Yeah.
But there are some stories of people who hit it on the first time. So you just never know. You have to believe in yourself and take that leap, you know, like you said, that leap of faith, because you just never know. All of the planets could be aligned properly and you hit it big on the first time.
And if you do fail, fail fast. That's what somebody told me once. That stuck with me. We all are going to fail, you know, but if you've done your research and you're failing fast and even pivoting quickly, you know, adapt, kind of pivot slightly and make a little tweak to whatever you're doing, you can still get those results that you're after. So I that's some of my advice to people is, hey, if you're going to fail, which you will, you know, fail quickly, and don't get kind of sucked into that, you know, that sunk cost bias. You know, what's done is done. And if you need to switch it up a little bit, or you need to reset completely, don't keep doing something over and over again if it's not working. You know, you have that bias, like, oh, I put all this investment of my time and energy into something. Now I need to rethink it. Well, you just rethink it, you know, and try to get past that hurdle, because that is a hurdle for people too, and has been for me.
So in building multiple businesses over your career, what would you say are the key factors in effectively scaling a startup?
Well, I think the number one thing is having a sense of urgency in everything you're doing to scale. I think it's sort of an impatient mindset. You know, and an urgency is just the absence of complacency. So it's not kind of resting on your success. You may have some incremental success and, you know, you want to stop to smell the rose a little bit, you know, you want to pat yourself on the back. You want to feel good about your accomplishments, but having that sense of urgency and not getting complacent is, I think, how you can grow something and scale it. I mean, you got to find good people. You got to have people you can trust and relate to, you know, and really once you have those folks, you know, to really scale, what you need to do is you got to be a master delegator. You know, you got to, based on a standard of performance that you've built and that you believe in, and then you can grow from there. But to me, the number one thing you must have is a sense of urgency. I wrote an article in my newsletter. I called it "You Better Be Running." And you know, about the lion and the gazelle, they're both running all the time. And if you want to get somewhere, you better be running. That's kind of my advice.
So how do you know when you're scaling too fast? You know, sometimes, you know, when you're building a business and you're looking at competitors as well as looking at your own personal goals, and you want to do so much so fast, but sometimes you may need to, pull the reins back a little bit and say, okay, let me just focus on these one or two key factors of my business or one or two key factors in my marketing. How do you know when you're going too fast?
Well, that can happen. And I think some of the advice I would give and some of the advice that I learned some of it the hard way is look at what your motivators are. You know, I think as you are growing quickly, is it for the right reasons? Is it because you want to be able to show off and say, hey, you've reached a certain point? Or is it really in line with your goals? And if it is in line with your goals, you're probably not scaling too fast. You know, if you set aggressive goals and you're tracking those, and that's really the second part, is you got to measure and track things that matter. No vanity metrics, stuff that really gives you an indicator. So how help you to see into the future to know, hey, if what I'm doing is working, you know, this thing is really taking off like a jet. I mean, is this sustainable? You know, and if you're in line with your goals and it's based on kind of some of those key factors you put in place, that you're measuring to know that you're checking those boxes, so to speak, along the way, hey, you know, pour more fuel on it if you have to, you know, at that point. So but I think it is taking stock, if you will, is probably the number one thing I say. Take stock, slow down, take a minute and look at your motivators and look at your systems, processes, the things you're doing to establish that success. And is it, you know, there's going to be cracks, you know, there's going to be cracks. It's not always going to be perfect, but is the core concept still valid? Is everything happening and kind of flowing the way you dreamed it would, you envisioned it would, you know? So, and if you do find yourself off track and you just think, you've taken on too much, you've made some mistakes. Well, that's where you, kind of like I mentioned before, don't get stuck on that. Move forward, move past it, you know, and get through it.
I like that. And also you mentioned delegating. Like, I think that is a skill that not enough people harp on when it comes to building a business. You know, so many times we feel like, you know, this business is my baby. I want to make sure that, you know, I have input or, you know, I have a hand in every single facet. And then you end up, you know, hitting the wall, you know, and facing burnout, you know. So how does a person get to that point of fully trusting the people around them and saying, okay, I need you to take care of this. I need you to handle this. And I'm going to focus over here, completely step away from it.
Yeah, I think you show me a company that doesn't innovate or grow, and I'll show you a company that doesn't delegate. You know, you show me one that has built systems to delegate, they're, you know, the sky's the limit. But for me, it's trust, but verify early.
Okay.
You know, you've got to do that. You've got to build that credibility mutually. You know, and it doesn't mean you're hand holding or spoon feeding. It just means, hey, trust, but verify. Don't just let them go wild and crazy. And then I say, you know, give the why in anything you're doing. You know, that's going to make sure that the people are aligned in your thinking, whatever direction you've set. There's going to be an alignment there. So if you give the why, you're going to have a better chance of success in that area. And I think another way about to make delegation work is focus on results and not necessarily the process. So as a leader, you know, you can many times, you know, have exactly how you think something should go. And then you delegate that and hey, people are all different, you know? So they come up with a little bit of a different way of doing it. And you gotta, you know, hold back a little bit, you know, coach, guide, tweak as needed. But with that verification, that trust that you've built in and that stuff you're measuring, you're measuring results along the way that are in line with your goals. But really, I say, hey, just don't be so stuck on that they follow your process. Just make sure that the results that you guys set out to do are happening. So for me, delegating is one of the big keys to success and growth of a company. As an entrepreneur, you can't do it alone. And you may have the vision. You may be able to integrate most of the things you have in mind early on. But if you want to scale, you want to grow, you've got to get other people involved.
Most definitely. You know, one of the biggest lessons I think I had to learn in management was to not expect me and other people.
Yeah.
You know, one of my coaches used to always tell me that you got to stop expecting you and everybody else. Did it get done? Yes. Was it the way you would do it? No, but it got done.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And it's hard for some of us. You know, I admit I still deal with it, you know, on certain projects.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, why did you do it that way? Well, I would have done this and this. And then I have to say, okay, stop. It got done.
Yeah, but at the same time, I think it's fair to say you're going to drive efficiency in the process too. So maybe that's your moment, right? That's the leader's moment to say, okay, yeah, no, it worked. I like what you did. It happened, but maybe next time then you can fill in the blank, right? Maybe next time you do a little differently here and you're not trying to control them, but that is coaching. You know, that is trying to help them get better and improve and help them lead. So, yeah, it's picking your moments for that, though, for sure.
Most definitely. And it's led me to really appreciate the implementing the Kaizen method, you know, when brainstorming with your team. And that's when you can really sit down and look at how everyone does everything and then come up with, as you alluded to earlier, best practices for getting something done. You know, because sometimes in that moment, it's just like, okay, I just need to show gratitude. They got it done. Keep it moving. Save the training for later on.
Yeah.
You know,
I know it's tempting, you know, that's where you get into that micromanaging stuff. And then with the Kaizen, if you want to have a Kaizen event, you want to drive the waste out of a process, you want to dial it in, like I think you just said it, you know, there's a time and a place and make sure it's the right one, you know, as best you can.
Most definitely. And also in creating a team, you know, a high performing team is, like you said, is essential to any business, having the right people around you. What are your tips for assembling and nurturing a team that drives success? Like, you know, anybody can just put something on Indeed and screen applications, but how do you really hone in on these are the core people that I need that align with my vision and my values that are going to help me take my business to the next level?
Yeah, I think there's traits and behaviors that are crucial that you have to look for. And, you know, some of the things I think about first off when it comes to that is be an impeccable communicator. You know, and that's something I struggle with. I can be have an urgent mindset. I can be impatient. I want to skip to the, you know, cut to the chase a little bit. And, you know, so I try to back up a little bit and be that, you know, curious, be a very good listener and try to work on and communication skills. Because I think any message you want to get across, any team you want to build, you know, any back and forth that you want to establish, you know, for credibility and trust, it takes great communication. That's, you know, 101, of course. But it's got to be stated, you know, it's got to be said. But I think that another area that I believe in very strongly is about setting standards of performance. You know, so that's where it gets tricky as a leader and someone trying to grow something and build a team is you need to build a standard performance and you need to hold people accountable to that standard. So that's not the same as saying, hey, you're focusing on results, not the process, you know, and you are coaching and guiding along the way. But ultimately, you got to set the standard. You got to be very, very clear as to what that is. And if you don't, you know, you can't really be upset about the results, you know. So, but some of those, you know, in addition, some of the traits and behaviors of people that you want to have on your team or that you want to grow into leaders are those that are, you know, choose like things like the soft skills, you know, choose empathy over sympathy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think being empathetic, trying to put yourself in people's shoes as a leader yourself, or notice that in people that you bring along. Hey, are they empathetic? You know, do they show empathy towards others, or are they just sympathetic? Which is, you know, sounds good, but if you really break those two things down, I think everyone would choose empathy first. So I look at those kind of things in the traits of leaders and people that you want to bring along, and you first got to look for them in yourself, and then work on those areas that you need to improve on as well.
Mm-hmm. And for the entrepreneur that has successfully launched and say they are in years 2 to 5, at what point do you start identifying, okay, these are my core workers, these are my core leaders, and I need to start transitioning people into C-suite executive positions?
Yeah, I think, you know, if you're consistent from the beginning, in how you communicate, you know, and the standards you set, what's going to really rise to the top are those folks. You're not going to have to wait 2 years, you know. And if they are that kind of person that you want to have growing into a C-suite position, they're not going to have that kind of patience either, because they've already, you know, have an urgent mindset about their career. So I think once you've got somebody, you recognize, hey, they're rough around the edges, or hey, man, they just need a little more training, maybe a certification, or, you know, let's get him into this, communication course or whatever to help work on some of those things. Once you find those people and you want to help fine tune them, don't wait. I mean, go right away, because, you know, they're of a certain mindset themselves. You know, they're, you know, you serve them, they don't serve you. And so I look at it from that standpoint. Once you see talent and you see ambition and ability and those things all converge together, you know, that's an amazing thing if you have people like that. And so I don't think you have to wait. I think you need to jump, you know, with both feet in, you know, right away and get those folks on board. But again, it's laying that early foundation is key. You know, if you got kind of inconsistent standards and you play favorites and you don't communicate very well and those kind of things, and you're not going to see which people are rising up to be future leaders and managers and high level executives yourself, because you're not being consistent. So you're going to get inconsistent kind of, I guess, an inconsistent vantage point too, you know? So it is foundational first. And then once you've done that, I say, you know, go. Rock and roll. Get those people moving, you know?
I like that. I like that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have come to our first break. This is brought to you by the CEO Within You. We'll be right back. I'm ready to get the ball.
Looking to achieve greater success in your personal and professional life? Look no further than Success is Within Reach, your go-to digital store for top-quality ebooks, how-to guides, articles, and resource listings for professional development, leadership development, and financial literacy. With a wide range of expertly curated content, Success is Within Reach is the perfect destination for anyone seeking to unlock their full potential and reach new heights of achievement. Whether you're an aspiring leader, an ambitious entrepreneur, or looking to improve your financial literacy and learn how to leverage your finances and credit, our store has everything you need to succeed. All of our content offers valuable insights, strategies, and expert advice on a variety of topics. So why wait? Take the first step towards achieving your goals and realizing your full potential. Visit the Success is Within Reach digital store and start creating the blueprint to your success.
All right. Welcome back. Once again, this is the Success is Within Reach podcast, season 4, episode 10, Entrepreneurship 101 with Tracy Brown. All right. So along the process of building a successful business, many entrepreneurs face setbacks and failures, as we spoke about earlier. How do you adapt to adapt and overcome setbacks? And what are some tips to build resilience and thick skin?
Yeah, and we all have it happen. I mean, it isn't always easy. If it was, you know, then it wouldn't be, such a challenge that we all want to kind of overcome. So I think the number one trait or thing or tool I use is make sure you're purpose driven. You know, whatever you have a clear vision and mission of what you're trying to do. And it could be, hey, I want to open a car wash. It could be, hey, I want to, open up a consulting firm. Whatever that is, you know, be purpose driven, have a real clear purpose. Because if you do, when you have things that slow you down, when you have failures and mistakes and errors in judgment, you've got that to kind of as your North Star, if you will. You know, you have that to kind of rely on to bring you back into focus. And it helps build resilience, you know, because it's easy to get down on yourself, you know, because that whole imposter syndrome thing we all have to face and deal with. So it's like we're built to not be resilient in some way. So I think build kind of these pieces as a part of your process that help you get back to where you need to be mentally. And that includes, being very purpose driven. And I also think having people around you that you can count on and that you can bounce things off of and, as mentors, again, that's critical really to overcoming, you know, those things that happen, you know, the mistakes that get made. I mean, we're not perfect and we all have errors in judgment and we all would do things we wish, we don't want to be regret managers. We want to get past those regrets and get back to it. So, but make sure you got a foundation of purpose and a mission, kind of a vision of what you expect it to be long-term. That gets you past some of those spots early on that don't go so well.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I talk to people a lot about comparison and, you know, reminding them, as the good book says, comparison is a thief of joy. You know, like, sure, you can be aware of what your competitors are doing, but, you know, don't compare your year 1, 2, or 3 to someone else that's been doing this 15, 20 years already. And I think one of the biggest issues with a lot of new entrepreneurs today is social media. Oh, and yeah. You know, because people only show you the highlight reels, they don't show you the ugly part of building a business. You know, they show you the cars and the trips and, you know, everything that they've been able to acquire, but they don't show you the weeks or sometimes months that you didn't have a new client or you didn't get a new sale, you didn't move a new product. So, you know, how do you think social media has changed the entrepreneurial landscape?
Oh, it's been tough. As someone who, you know, is a independent management consultant, I find that I don't particularly like going on social media. You know, I don't really go on to, you know, do Instagram or I guess it's not Twitter anymore, or X or whatever. And, mm-hmm. and LinkedIn, I'm not a big fan of going on doing LinkedIn, although it's vital to growing a management business in some ways. So I don't feel like I'm influenced too much there, but I will say this as a side note. So I'm also, you know, started this newsletter, this Earn Versus Burn, which is all about thinking about earning, trying to make sure your productivity's there, you're earning more than you're burning, you know, in your resources and time, energy and money. And in the newsletter game, if you will, you know, it is about subscriptions. And so talk about influences of social media. So I started following other newsletters and trying to get a better sense of, hey, how do you grow a newsletter? Mine's pretty new, you know, mm-hmm. and I'm still in my first year. And my first year goal was to get to 1,000 subscribers. I'm almost there. I'm really excited about that. And then 10,000. So I'm a goal setter. I like to write out goals. But you've read social media. You think I'd have 10 million, you know, subscribers in 6 months or something. So, you know, you can't let that stuff get you down. You can't let that, you know, affect you. Because, yeah, again, those are rarities. Those are people and maybe it's, who knows if it's even accurate. But yes. So I think you got to put that stuff in the right context, you know, if you are going to go down that path. And like what you said earlier, you know, checking your motivators, you know, what are you motivated by? You know, is it to be the biggest and the best? You know, is it to be your best, you know, and making sure you're not chasing something for the wrong reasons, if you will. So if you kind of do that and have that kind of have yourself in check there, maybe that social media influences that are a highlight reels, you know, and not the real world.
Mm-hmm.
It helps to keep that in perspective.
Yeah, it's I swear it's such an interesting dynamic, you know, because in today's world, you have so many people that are like, oh, you have to have social media to build your business. And I'm like, I can show you 50 people, you know, any given day that built their business before social media was even invented.
That's so right.
I'm like, yeah, there's a lot of us that were doing this well before, you know, social media became, you know, the next big thing. So I'm like, yes, it is a tool, but it is not all encompassing of you building a business.
Yeah,
it's, you know, it's not the end all be all, so to say. So I'm definitely with you there. You know, I remember the days of cold calling and prospecting and all of that. You know, so I'm like, some of us we built it the old school way. We actually like talking to people. Yeah. We don't just post and hope it goes viral.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, building those real partnerships and relationships with people, to me, I feel like it takes you so much further.
I think too, to touch on that, you know, a lot of the stuff you see in, I like to use kind of the comparison of transactional versus, you know, relationship building. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to, you know, any business that you want to start, you know, if you're transactional in the way you treat people, way you treat customers or clients, you know, that's a short-lived, you know, probably, you know, a venture, you know, mm-hmm. but if you base what you're doing and on building relationships, you know, good things are going to happen. And that takes, you know, it takes patience, you know, it takes keeping your eye on the ball, what you're really trying to do. You know, like one of my motivators, one of the things that keeps me in check there and not getting, trying to chase the new shiny penny, or I need to be, you know, posting stuff every day, and is really the fact that what is my goal? You know, like in my newsletter and in my consulting, it's about helping leaders and managers get better. It's about mm-hmm. helping organizations grow and improve. So if I keep that in mind and everything I'm doing, you know, and the steps I'm taking to do that are based on relationships. I mean, that's all I need.
Yeah, because I try to get people to understand, like, you have to, in a lot of ways, be hybrid. You know, you can't just focus on social media, because, like, I try to get them to understand any given day, a site can go down, a site can crash, it can be taken offline for whatever reason. If it goes down and your whole business is built on your social media page, then what do you do?
Yeah. Do you really have a business then?
Exactly. You know, or if someone hacks your page and you can't, you know, get control of it again, then what do you do?
Yeah.
Do you have that email listing? Do you have those, you know, contacts that you can call and still keep your business going? If you haven't done that because you've only relied on Facebook and Instagram, like you just said, have you even built a business?
Yeah, right. And they, you know, you hear they change their algorithms. So, you know, there's so many things outside of your control. And most entrepreneurs are, at least early on, and if they listen to what we're saying about delegation, they'll ease off of that. But a lot of a lot of us are control freaks. You know, we want things to be done the way we want them to be done. That's why we're entrepreneurs in some cases, right? So I think knowing, you know, if you're really heavy on social media, you don't have a lot of control over what's going to happen in the future. So, I mean, it's a piece of the pie. It can be a great resource for information. You know, it can be a tool, you know, but it's not the end all be all, at least not for me. And, you know, the newer generation would probably roll their eyes at some of that, but that's how I feel. Right?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I agree with you 1,000%, you know, get out, meet people, talk to people while you're in the airport, talk to people while you're in the grocery store. Like I have my business on, you know, a lot of hoodies that I have. I've actually gotten customers standing in line in the grocery stores. They're like, "Hey, that's a cool logo. What is that company about?"
Yeah.
Glad you asked.
Yeah.
You know,
that's a good start.
So I'm like, you know, just get out and about and meet people, like actually network and build relationships. Don't just limit it to 40 or 140 characters. Yeah. Like that's not building a relationship with a client.
And there's great, you're right. There's great networking opportunities. And where I'm at, I'm in the Chicagoland area. So, you know, Chicago always has stuff going on, and through organizations I belong to, one's menliving.org. People should check that out. Men Living is a men's organization that focuses on, you know, creating forums for people to get together and talk. It's not a business organization. It's a, you know, it's a nonprofit, but at the same time, you know, it's a great way to get to know people, and they know people, and you can build from that. And through like my consulting, I'm certified through the Institute of Management Consultants, and they have, you know, chapters all over the place. So there's so many ways to network and get to know people and get your name out there that are not necessarily, like you say, 140 characters on a tweet. You
know? Yep. All right. So, you know, when building a business, things move super fast. You have marketing, you have branding, you have your website, you have your clientele, so many different things going on.
Yeah.
And a lot of times entrepreneurs get overwhelmed super quickly, especially for those doing it all on their own and they haven't, you know, effectively built a team. What are some of your strategies for time management and prioritization?
Well, that's some of the, I think the biggest areas I cover when I coach executives and companies and people trying to deal with time management. And that's kind of really the core concept around my earn versus burn is the time, thinking about time and how we waste it or earn value or we waste time. So, and burn our time up without getting anything out of it. But I think there's a couple key things that I use and tools and kind of ways to trigger people to think in I think how they should when it comes to time management. First off, especially when you mentioned all the different factors it takes and all the things you're doing as you're growing a business, simplicity is key. Simplicity creates velocity. That's the phrase I like to use with clients. Kind of corny, but it works. You know, it gets the point across. So as it comes to any system or process or a CRM you want to adopt or get software for your customer relationships, or, you know, you're trying to figure out how to take the next step. If you always, you know, answer that or question it from a simplicity standpoint on all the stuff it takes to grow a business, especially a fast growing one, you always want to lean towards simplicity. So I say, you know, there's certain ways you can think about that. I mean, if you focus on, you know, efficiency about your processes, building SOPs around repeatable tasks. I mean, these are, you know, kind of blocking and tackling type stuff that you can do to help yourself as you grow. But as I coach, you know, people, executives, businesses, I'm heavy in the simplicity side when it comes to time management, because, you know, if you've done some of the other stuff we talked about with delegation, you have standards of performance, those foundational pieces are laid down. You still got to think about, you know, the day-to-day activity and processes, you know, doing a Kaizen event to try to get the waste eliminated. Those are great things. But when it gets down to it, I say, you know, get those standard operating procedures established for any task that you do three or more times.
Mm-hmm.
So when should I do an SOP? Well, if it's a repeatable task you've done three times, it should have an SOP that is written down somewhere. Somebody can grab and do that, take care of that task for you. You know, so if you find ways to free yourself up with these tactical measures and always approach kind of all the day to day with, hey, what's the simple thing? What's the simple solution here? You know, we're so good at making, you know, things bigger than they need to be, you know, problems, you know, I guess situations. So just get down to basics. And I think that works great for me as someone who can overcomplicate things. And I think it's a great advice that I give people, and they tend to run with it, you know, it helps. And it's just probably the number one way I'd say time management. There's other tools. Like, I'm a big believer in the I Believe method, which is a list making kind of a prioritization process where before you go to work the next day, you write down your six top things to do and you do them in order, you know? Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's just something that was, people can look it up. It's been around for a long time. So there's like little tools and tips, and that I Believe method being one of them. And I think super valuable for me, because I can make lists all day long, but I need to be clear what my priorities are, make sure I'm hitting those first.
Yeah.
And then if I'm doing stuff that if I keep pushing something off my to-do list, well, maybe I shouldn't even have it on the list. You know, so there's things you can do along those lines that are tactical again. But in a bigger picture, if you just have this simplicity mindset about all this time management type stuff, all this day-to-day process type stuff, you're gonna have success. You know, I think you're gonna eliminate a lot of the confusion and a lot of the churn that we all have as people who are trying to figure it out.
Indeed, I totally agree. So in today's current landscape, we have AI and technology booming more than it ever has before. And everyone is either trying to figure out how to do more with less, or the most efficient way to work smart and not hard. So what are your thoughts on the emerging trends that entrepreneurs should be aware of over the next, say, 2 to 5 years, that they need to start implementing to, you know, maximize their efficiency?
Well, I might be counterintuitive on this one, but I would go away from the AI stuff. I mean, people seem to think the AI world is the answer to, especially, you know, I guess figuring things out for them. You know, I think that feels transactional to me, you know, in any business. I feel like that's not authentic. So I think I'm all about making sure I'm authentic and I'm real. And so, like, you know, those challenges that you talk about and how to deal with that stuff. I mean, some of these things that are coming along in technology and you know, maybe that's my age, or maybe I'm, again, there's be some eye rollers out there. Like, I don't get it, but I don't feel that that's the answer. You know, I think I would lean heavy into authenticity, you know, straightforward talking to people, building those relationships, kind of the basics, you know, I think are something that we're losing. You know, I think the getting back to those basics is where it's at. So any business that I, you know, look at and I want to evaluate and judge them, like, hey, they got it going, are they figured it out? I mean, I'm thinking about those types of things, you know, and as I get those calls and I consult with businesses, and I'm trying to help them figure out either a process, you know, giving them what I call my package solution for a one-off goal setting process, or even a change management process. You know, nothing I'm offering them is, you know, really outside, and I'm proud of it, is, hey, it's all about basics. You know, it's all about understanding, you know, the beginning, the middle, and end of a process and or a system or whatever your plan is, and leaning into that more. So I think it as things change and evolve over time, we better be ready for it, and it's happening, right? But who's going to come out ahead? You know, I think it's those that rely on authenticity and building relationships and moving forward that way.
Okay. All right. And last but not least, I like to ask a lot of my guests, what are three things that you know now about business and entrepreneurship that you wish you knew when you first got started?
Well, I could tell you some stories about mistakes I've made or been a part of. Always read the contract. You know, when I, as a contractor, as someone who is in the contracting business, I've been burned And I mean, that's very specific, but you know, not necessarily a you know, kind of a I think just a method or a mindset. It's really specific, but it's true. You know, always read that contract. If you're in business, you're signing up for something down the line at some point. So to me, that's a big one. And that I used to race to the where do I sign kind of box, and that was my process there on contract. So that's one. I think for the other ones, I would lean really into the areas of leadership that I think everyone should be looking for. Yeah.
All right, there we are.
No, we're back.
Yeah, I lost you for a second. I got you back now.
Okay, I don't know where it left off, but I was talking about contracts. I mean, it's very specific, but I say, hey, read those contracts. If you're a business, you're looking at paperwork, and don't skip to the end of where you sign. You know, invest the time on that. I think early, that's very important. Mm-hmm. And someone who's really heavy on efficiency and driving best practices and in business, you know, some of the things I would say I wish I knew then, you know, that I know now are probably mostly around efficiency. You know, I think there's some thinking around urgency, right? I talked about. So, you know, if you have an urgency kind of thought process about everything, hey, you better be running. You know, what can instantly go away is efficiency. And so early on in my career, you know, I was working twice as hard to get the same result because I was just so impatient. I just had that feeling of constant feeling of urgency, which is a good trait, but it can backfire on you. So I think of it, the iron triangles of efficiency, you know, you've got to be standardizing things, right? You got to prioritize things. And you know, you really got to organize things. So if you're doing those three things, you know, which I didn't do early on, I was just, you know, damn the torpedoes mindset, you know, and same for contracts. Where do I sign? You know, so those kind of, that's really probably the heart of what I would wish I knew then that I know now is you almost got to slow down a little bit to speed up.
Mm-hmm.
In that regard. And I think the last one really is around hiring good people. You know, I've made mistakes in that area, whether it be hiring based on what I hope someone can do, you know, hiring people based on, you know, I've done interviews with people early on where I did all the talking. I told them what I wanted them to do. Here's what it looks like. Here's what we're going to do. You're hired, you know? So as early on in my career, as I'm building business, you know, that is probably an area I would, if I get a redo, it would be in that area around hiring people, about evaluating people. And so that's why I now really strongly believe in, I coach up things around traits and behaviors of people and leaders,
because,
you know, those are critical. So I've learned that lesson, but boy, I wish I knew it earlier. You know, I made mistakes in that regard. And, but you learn from your mistakes, and that's the important thing.
Definitely. We definitely have to learn from our mistakes. I mean, it's the only way you get better.
Yeah.
You know, you just hope that they aren't too costly early on.
Yeah, right.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are at the part of the show where I leave you with this week's mind shift moment. You know, and I was thinking about it, entrepreneurship and business and some of the different hurdles that we face. And this is what I have for this week. Remember, entrepreneurship is a path filled with challenges and uncertainties, but it's also a journey where consistent effort and unwavering resilience can lead to extraordinary success. As you embark upon your own entrepreneurial endeavors or continue down that path, keep these lessons in mind. Stay committed to your vision, even when the road gets tough, as consistency is the key to progress. Embrace your failures and setbacks as opportunities to learn and grow. Resilience is what turns obstacles into stepping stones. And last but not least, always, always believe in yourself and your ability to overcome challenges. Your determination can absolutely move mountains. And that is this week's Mind Shift Moment. I want to thank my guest once again, Mr. Tracy Brown. Thank you so much for joining me on the show. This has been an absolutely amazing episode. Before we get out of here, I'll let everyone know where they can get in contact with you for your services.
Yeah, thank you. And thanks for having me, Shannon. It's really been a lot of fun. My website for my consulting biz, you know, it's metamanagementconsulting.com, all spelled out. And that can either also lead you to my newsletter, but, or you can go straight to that. You know, got to put that HTTPS thing in front of it, but it's earn versus burn, all spelled out, .com. And those are the two big ways to reach me. And I hope to hear from people out there.
All right, and I'm your host once again, Shannon Smith. For those on social media, you can find me on Instagram at @the_CEO_within, or you can contact me through my consulting firm, The CEO Within You, for all of your management, consulting, advertising, and branding needs. I'm at www.theceowithinyou.com. And as always, you can find me here on Thursdays at the Successes Within Reach podcast, where I remind you, you were not designed to be good. You were designed to be great. And with that, I say stay safe and I see you next week.
You have just tuned into the Successes Within Reach podcast, hosted by Shannon Smith, where each week we discuss impactful topics and bring you proven solutions to help you create the blueprint to your success. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcast platform and join our new Patreon community for more exclusive content and extras. Remember, success is always within reach. All you have to do is take the first step. Until next time.